Is everybody awake now? I tell you, I guess we could just probably say a prayer right now and end the service. It just seems like we've been praising the Lord this whole time. You know, we had a great time yesterday at the trail ride. I don't have how many of y'all ever been on a trail ride? You know, you think, man, a trail ride, that kind of sounds a little bit boring, just riding a horse along, you know, but you never been on one of our trail rides. It gets exciting when you get young colts out there, you know, and they don't know what they're doing. They're just going. They're looking at every booger that's in the sky, on the ground. Every time the wind blows, you know, it was just a fun time. But we saw some of the most beautiful country I've ever seen. This is the best trail ride I've ever been on because of the beauty of everything we got to see that God had created. You know, this month, Claudia and I celebrate the third year of being here at Common Ground Cowboy Church. It is such a blessing. We are so excited what God is doing every day. It's just kind of like the next week, we can't wait to see what God's going to do next. It's just so exciting, you know, and it never stops, and it never ceases to amaze me what God will do with people when they say, I'll do it. I'll stand in the gap. I'll watch the gate. I'll do it. I'll be that one. What a blessing it is to be here at this body, to serve here with this body of Christ. You know, today we celebrate today as Palm Sunday. How many of y'all knew it was Palm Sunday? You know, some folks, they don't, Palm Sunday, what's Palm Sunday? What are you supposed to do? Supposed to high-five everybody with a palm. No, that's not what it's about. Y'all been high-fiving me all morning, but that's not what it's about. You know, we celebrate Palm Sunday. It's the beginning of the Holy Week, the week that we all think about, we pray about, the week that where Jesus died and was resurrected, and all the things that he had to go through during that whole week leading up to his resurrection. You know, it's such a blessing. All four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all tell this same account of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. You know, on that day, Jesus rode into Jerusalem riding a donkey. A donkey, not a horse. Yeah, I'm fixing to get you, brother. Just hang on. He was riding a donkey into Jerusalem. You know, he rode in as a king, not just a king, but a Messiah king, the king of all Israel. And, you know, because it was promised and in the scripture that this is the way that the Messiah would enter into Jerusalem. You know, but why did Jesus ride a donkey? You know, why didn't he ride some, I'm talking about, just stout built, young, good looking quarter horse or a thoroughbred or something? No, but he rides a donkey in. It's because back then, not like now, no, I'm just saying. Back then, a donkey was considered to be something special. It was a royal beast. And kings would come in riding a donkey as royalty. So I guess that makes Robert Willis royalty. He rides a royal beast. I'm sorry, I had to get you, brother. God bless you. Yeah, we all followed the beast, the royal beast. But Jesus came into Jerusalem riding this donkey. And, you know, not a quarter horse, not a thoroughbred horse, but a donkey. It was the preferred mount of royalty during that time. And, you know, I guess Robert is really, every time he goes to work cows and he slams his leg over that mule, he's riding royalty. I think you ought, do you have a purple robe that you ride with sometimes? Kind of drape? You can get one. Jesus knew what he was doing when he asked for a donkey to ride in, because prophecy said that that's the way it would do. Jesus knew exactly what he was doing. And he was announcing to the world who he really is. Who he is in God's plan. Who he is in God's kingdom. He is royalty. He is the king. It's kind of like today laying down the red carpet. You know, folks during that time, they were so excited. He was coming in. He's riding a donkey. They're all excited. They're throwing their coats. They're taking their garments off and throwing them down in front of the donkey, in front of Jesus. They're taking palm leaves and laying them down. That's where we get Palm Sunday, y'all. You cowboys that don't know what I'm talking about, no high-fiving. That's where it comes from, the palm trees. They laid these leaves down for Jesus to walk on. He was the promised Messiah, the King of Israel. You know, and they were yelling. Man, these folks were excited. They were saying, Hosanna! You know, blessed be his name. Blessed to God for the one who has come. You know, blessing to him that comes in the name of the Lord. Let's open our scripture to Matthew 21. We're going to read about it. Matthew 21, starting in verse 1. I get a little excited when I start talking about Jesus. Y'all know that about me. But bear with me. I'm trying to rein myself back in. Help me, Holy Spirit. As Jesus and the disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the town of Bethany and on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them ahead and said, "Go into the village over there," he said. "As soon as you enter it, you'll see a donkey tied there with its colt beside it." He said, "Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone asks, 'What are you doing?' just say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will immediately let you take them." You know, this took place to fulfill the prophecy that said, "Tell the people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming to you. He is humble, riding on a donkey's colt. The two disciples did as Jesus commanded. They brought the donkey and the colt to him and threw their garments over the colt, and he sat on it. Most of the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him. Others cut branches from trees and spread them on the road. Jesus was in the center of the procession, and the people all around him were shouting, 'Praise God for the Son of David. Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise God in the highest heaven.'" Man, how exciting that scene must have been to see Jesus riding in. And the crowd was so excited and so seemed like just all over Jesus. Oh, he is everything to us. Same people, the same crowd, 1 week later, crucified him, testified against him, sent him to the cross. The same crowd that praised him is the same ones. I got to thinking about that. Man, those people, whoo, they were so fake. They're so two-faced. They talked like their mouth was like a two-edged sword. And then Jesus reminded me in my prayer time, "You sent me to the cross." It wasn't them folks. It wasn't them. It was you. You, I died for your sins. You sent me to the cross. You know, all the things that I had done had to be paid for. All the sins that I'd committed somehow had to be paid. And Jesus said, "Don't always be quick to point the finger at somebody else's sin, because you're a sinful man yourself." You know, we call this whole process of Jesus' death and his resurrection the good news that he is alive. The good news. Every time we go to tell someone about Christ, it's about the good news. Not that he's dead, but that he's alive. There's enough prophets out there that are still in their graves, y'all, that folks are just so willing to follow. You know, I've mentioned them before, those Hare Krishnas and bald-headed guys wearing mama's nightgown. I'm not sure. And the little ching-ching things that they do. But, you know, they're serving a dead prophet. Ours is alive. Amen? I mean, that's the exciting part about Easter. We're building up to Easter. We're building up a time when we... Everybody and his brother comes to church on Easter, don't they? They may not grace the doors any other time, but on Easter, they show up. You know, and sometimes we're kind of judgmental. We kind of look at them and go, you know, what are you doing here? You never come here all year long, and here you are today. You know, go get your donut and go sit down. You know? But really... How should we be acting? We should be so excited that they're here. We should be so excited that they get to hear the good news, that they get to hear about what Jesus did for them. Because you see, it's not about us. It's all about Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, our Redeemer. You know, this story should make us realize how much God loves us. That amazing sacrificial love that he loved us so much that he was willing. You know, he wore a crown. He was in heaven. Everything was going good. But he said, I'm going to put my crown down and I'm going to go down to earth and humble myself to be born in a manger, in a stable, with a bunch of pigs, cows, horses, and donkeys. But it was so amazing that he was willing to humble himself for us and to die for us. Not thinking of himself, but thinking of us and us alone. So this morning, I ask you, help me, Lord. Who do you serve today? Who is making a difference in your life? Who is on the throne of your life? Is it you? Are you living for yourself? You know, Jesus, Robert, I hate to tell you this, but when Jesus comes back for us, those that are saved, he's not going to be riding a donkey. He's going to be riding a big white horse, a big steed. Because those are... He says that horses were for kings that come in that were victorious, that have won. Jesus has already won. But when he comes back, he's going to be riding. He's not riding a donkey. He's not riding a mule. Actually, Robert, you're even better because your ride is half donkey and half horse, ain't it? So he's also royalty and a victor. I'm sorry, I had to go there. When he comes back, he's coming back for us. He's coming back to take us home with him. Wherever that's at, wherever Jesus is at, that's where I want to be. Now, he's going to be riding horse. I will probably be a little jealous at first because I'll be flying. I don't really know what I'm going to be doing. But, you know, Jesus is going to come back for us. Because he cares about each and every one of us. He doesn't want to leave anyone behind. He doesn't want anyone to go to hell. This morning, when you think about with this poem that he talked about this morning, Brad, about which pen are you going to be in when the sorting's over? What pen are you going to end up? We're not guaranteed tomorrow. We're only guaranteed right now, right here where we are, because we could head out here, go out of this barn, and have a wreck and die. If you've been sorted, where would you be this morning? It is so easy of a thing to do. It's just believe. They think, oh, well, you know, I got to change this in my life. I got to change that. I got to quit smoking, dipping, and chewing, and drinking, and doing nothing. That's, the scriptures doesn't say that. It says all you have to do is believe that Jesus died on the cross for you and that you're a sinner and that he loved you enough to die on the cross for your sins. He died on the cross and he was buried and he was raised on the third day. Now stands at the right hand of the Father. If you believe that, you can be saved this morning. Don't get yourself caught in the sorting pen on the wrong side. Believe me, y'all, it's not going to be a fun ride when you leave that pen, because that pen is going to, everyone that's in that pen is going to be ushered straight to hell. Hell is not a fun place to be for eternity. I don't know about you, but I want to be on the right side. I want to be on Jesus' side. Amen? I want to be on the side with the righteous, those that have believed in Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you don't know what I'm talking about, you've never heard the story, or you've just been sitting on the fence between the two pens, thinking that one day I'm going to just kind of fall into it. I'm just going to lean one way or the other, and I'll be okay. I'll get there just by the skin of my teeth, just in the nick of time, and I'll live my life like I want to until that day. And just before he comes, I'm going to make that decision. That way I can do what I want to all the way up to that time. You're a fool. I'm telling you, it's the most foolish thing you've ever done if you're sitting on the fence. One way or another, you've got to make a decision. You're making a decision to accept Christ, or you're making a decision to reject him. Which is it going to be this morning? Which pen are you going to be in? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just come to you, Father, just thanking you for this beautiful, beautiful day that we have to come serve you. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit has done his work this morning, that he has talked to someone, gripped their heart, that doesn't know you, that they would accept Christ today as their Lord and Savior. Lord, there might be someone here that's accepted you but has kind of got off the trail. They're out there riding around, lost, not knowing where they're going. I pray, Father, this morning that you bring them back, that they confess their sins, and you lead them back to the trail that you want them to be on for their life. Lord, without you, we have no protection. Without you, Father, we're helpless. Without you, Lord, we're lost. I pray, Father, that we would come to you this morning and renew our relationship with you, so that, Father, that our daily walk, Lord, our daily, every time that we get out of bed, Father, that we live it for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're visiting, we know we've got some visitors here from Champion Forest in my old stomping grounds. We're glad to have you all here this morning. I hope that God blesses you for the time that you've been able to spend with us here at Common Ground. But if you're a visitor and you're from the area and you're looking for a church home, well, one of y'all might be looking for a church home. I don't know. I don't want to exclude you. But if you're looking for a church home, consider Common Ground Cowboy Church. It's a church full of loving people. Amen. Y'all have a blessed week.